Welcome to Voices in the Wilderness, conversations about church and leader health. Thank you so much for listening. We encourage you to keep the conversation going. Voices in the Wilderness is brought to you by Preparing for Amazement Ministries, where we empower and equip churches and leaders to create lasting and transformational health. Visit amazed15.org to learn more. Again, we welcome any comments or suggestions. Simply email us at podcast@amazed15.org. My name is Marcus Carlson, and today our guests are Jen Binford and Joe Oliver. Welcome, Jen and Joe.
Hey, thanks for having us.
It's good to be back again. Yeah. So we've been doing this series on habits of healthy leaders, and we're hoping that the podcast and the feedback will help shape the book that we're working on and the other material that we provide for leaders. And so we're actually finally, after three episodes kind of leading up to this, talking about habits, talking about leader health, diving into the seven habits. And so today we start with habits of healthy leaders, habit one, healthy leaders are praying leaders. So excited to hear your all's input on this, because I will say anybody can pray, but there are people who have the gift of prayer and those who don't. And I am definitely one of the ones who doesn't. And so I'm excited to learn from you, because I suspect, you probably both are a little more gifted in this area. So thanks for doing it.
Yeah. Glad to be on.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So again, yeah, it's fun. So this first habit kind of seems both obvious and cliche, right? Healthy leaders are praying leaders, but it can be quite critical. And we've noticed that. For the two of you, how have you seen prayer be critical to your health as a leader?
I'd say for me, being in tune with the Spirit and God's presence and God's leading, and so that I'm not moving, because I am a very fast-paced activator who's ready to run. I'm a runner, and that's how, I think you've teased me before, Marcus, you've called me a road runner, that when you stop and pray and listen and engage with the Holy Spirit, often I'm woken up in the middle of the night, it seems like, if I'm not listening during the daytime hours. So it benefits me if I slow down and actually listen. But there's greater peace when I can hear from the Holy Spirit and be moving through discernment on the path that the Spirit is leading versus my own path, because we can all get distracted and off track. So for me, just being in tune with the Spirit and the Spirit's leading versus my fleshly instinct or desires or whatever, or annoyances. So it could be emotions too.
So. Awesome.
Yeah. I think prayer has probably been the biggest part of my spiritual formation. My religious background, prayer was a big part, like praying. And so I did a lot of early on in my thinking, theological thinking of like what prayer is. And trying to communications, maybe not the right word, but like relational connection with God through prayer. And the text, pray without ceasing, and the Lord's Prayer, pray this way, these things that like baked into my brain that prayer is not something I do. It's a part of who I am, at least for me. And so there's honestly, like, out of all the things I've maybe ever struggled in my faith, prayer's never been a part of that. I've personally, you said the gift of prayer, and that's interesting. I hadn't actually thought of it like that. You got me thinking right there, like, I don't know. Because I wouldn't say I had the gift of prayer. I just feel like, as we talk about habits, I was trained early on that this is a habit. When I became a Christian, it's like, this is what you do. So I didn't grow up a Christian. I had no context. Like, I didn't know what the behaviors, I didn't have the rhythms of what it meant to go to church, you know? And so when early spiritual leaders in my life began to say, you know, you need to pray, it just was like, okay, I got to figure that out. And I quickly learned to just let my conversation always, it's always going. And so I don't know that I've ever not been praying. Like, it's just like, it's a habit that's just been baked into my brain that I'm just always bouncing thoughts and ideas to the Lord. Frustrations, pains, excitement, joys. It's like driving down the road, walking down the street, working on a project. There's just I guess the biggest image I always had, it's like, if I truly believe that the Lord is with me, His Spirit is with me, then I should just talk to Him like He is. And so that's been critical for me, because I think I've been able to become the person I am today because I'm just talking to Him all the time. And I don't know if that sounds weird to some or not, I don't know, but you know, and maybe I take that for granted, that it's just something, it's like, I just wake up, start talking to Him. I talk to Him about my day. I talk to Him, I'm like, okay, God, I'm going to have this, recording I had to do this afternoon, Lord, what should I say? Like, okay, I probably should take some notes. Like, I just feel like I'm talking to Him all the time. And then little things will just pop up of inspiration. I think it's the Holy Spirit just poking me back, so.
Awesome.
It's been absolutely critical for me.
Yeah, that's huge. And you know, I think that's a good definition of prayer, because I think a lot of us do that and don't always see that as prayer. You know, it's often attributed, I think, to John Wesley, although others may have said it before him. He said something like, pray like, you know, everything depends on God, and work like everything depends on you. And I think part of the challenge for me as a leader with prayer is that it can be so busy doing for God, that to like stop and be with God and like recognize, like, this actually really isn't that dependent on me. I think for me is kind of one of the things I wrestle with. Hmm. I mean, for the two of you, what are some things that hinder or prevent you from engaging in prayer?
Yeah, for me, I would say, it's partly just how I'm naturally wired to be moving at all times. Like, I'm high energy, high extrovert. And so I can easily get distracted, have a high value of efficiency, and can just get distracted and not realize. So hindered me the most is a misunderstanding of what prayer actually is and had to look like before. And so reforming and reshaping my understanding of what prayer actually is, and it's just the recognition of God's presence is with me. And so it could be a breath prayer, it could be, you know, a hand prayer, it could be you know, a deep, long conversation, or me sitting in the sanctuary at the cathedral for an hour, which I do. So there's all forms of different. And one of the most beautiful forms of prayer that I get to participate in is a group of pastors that meets in my living room once a month. And what we've decided to do is just open up the time by acknowledging, Lord, we know that you're with us, and we are compassionate witnesses to one another's stories. We're here to hold space for each other. You know even more than what we need. And then we share where we're at in ministry and life. And then we say amen at the end. So, yeah, just having a little bit broader understanding of what it is has helped me to not be so rigid that I'm not doing it right or wrong, I guess, if I'm not sitting with my prayer journal, which I do, but in doing it a particular way, I guess.
Awesome.
Yeah, I wonder how one might answer this question. Like Jen was saying, is determined on how they actually perceive prayer or how they define prayer. So if for someone prayer is a specific duration of time by which everything is shut off in order for them to direct their attention, heart, and efforts towards God in order to communicate a pain, hurt, request, need, whatever, if that's the definition of prayer, I could see how someone could say busyness, you know, like there are things that stop me from doing that activity. I don't see prayer that way. So for me, prayer is ongoing. It's just I can stop. I can be intentional. Oftentimes I do. But that for me isn't prayer. Prayer is a lifestyle that I've cultivated that is an ongoing conversation that never ceases. And there may be times, like with my wife, that I might go an afternoon without talking to her. That doesn't mean I go the day without talking to her. And that doesn't mean she's not always on my mind. And so I think for me, you know, there we can get to the nitty gritty of like the definition of prayer. Because I'm not saying that those intentional activities aren't worth it or needed. They are.
It's a both
and. But it's more than. Yeah. It's two sides of the same coin. So for me, I just go, there's not a whole lot that stops me from praying or prevents me from praying, because whether I'm happy, I want to give glory to God. Whether I'm sad, I want to lament to God. When I'm pissed, I want to let him know about it. When I, you know, like all the things, it's just, it's the first thing I think of is like, you know, like, God, what is, you know, or, oh man, thank you, Jesus. This was, what a blessing this was. Or, you know, whatever. It's just, I don't know. So I guess if we're defining it in an activity, then there's a lot of things that may stop us from praying. I just choose to see it much bigger than that. And through that lens, I would say there's not much that prevents me from praying, because, yeah. I don't know. I don't know if that's helped. That might sound, is that a cop out? I don't know.
No.
Like I feel.
No, I mean, I think that's genuine. I mean, I forget if it was, you know, Dallas Willard or Richard Foster that said, you know, when they talked about this, the spiritual discipline of prayer, like is to see someone, to think of someone, to think of something is to pray. Right. And even me, you know, like sometimes when somebody comes to mind, I stop and pray, but like, even just shooting the text message to make it more concrete, right? It's organic and concrete. Hey, thought of you today. Yeah. I think for me, like what you're talking about, Joe, is you're demonstrating once again the power of habits, right? Like you've had decades of just doing it this way, so you don't have to think about it or you don't get swayed from it. That's my experience with solitude. Like I know by the end of the day, if I've not had enough solitude, and usually do the people, sort of the people close to me. But I think, like, really, and you know, and I'm a high extrovert, solitude was the worst thing ever. But I think for me, I try to live like you're talking, but I don't think I've cultivated the habit quite as well or as long or as much as you have. So I can get distracted by either like hyper-focusing on something that most often is a good thing and is for God. Not all the time. You know, I'm a human sinner, right? I can get hyper-focused, you know, on that thing, or just distracted by circumstances. And I think what happens is it's once you stop flexing that muscle, you go, oh, you know, like it's easier to kind of drift into it's harder to drift back into that lane, right? Once like something has caused you to drift out of that. So I do think like what you're illustrating is true. I just think you've got more practice, right?
Do you think that like there's a component of this that when people think of prayer, they think of, you know, I'm talking to God. And so, you know, I got to say the right thing.
Oh yeah.
How do I don't know what to say. Like, so I just, And so there's this like idea that prayer has to be this, you know, like the monks in the, you know, the 13th century, 14th century, you know, like that are just these very lofty, high, you know, high Old English style prayer, right? And some of the things that have really shaped me was when Jesus, you know, said, don't go on babbling when you pray, mm-hmm. you know, like there's an aspect and the Lord knows your thoughts. He knows what you're going to ask. Like those for me was like, you know, despite the theological implications of like, well, then why pray if he knows what I'm thinking? But, you know, on the simplest form, it actually just released in me this ability, this feeling like I had to fill space with prayer. And so it's like, you know, Lord bless so-and-so. I don't need to go into and
Yes.
I just, it's a thought, right? That is pointed towards God that knows my heart and understands my motivation. And it's in and out, always in and out, in and out, in and out, in and out through the day. So it doesn't have to, anyway. That's why I just, when I talk to people, they go like, oh, I just don't know what to say and I don't know how to pray. And I'm like, buddy, you're missing the point.
Well, yeah. And I do think that's a common thing. And I think like having to have pastors or professionals pray, or, you know, people, leaders in churches not thinking they're spiritual enough to pray, or they don't, you know, have the right words. Like there's really not, you know, wrong words at all. And I remember when I was, went to college, a Christian college, and was pretty young believer, you know, I'm like, why are we having these lofty prayers? I'm hungry. I'm a college kid. So, you know, they'd ask me to pray and I'd be like, Jesus, bless this food. We're hungry. It's college food. Make it not make us sick. Amen. Like, give me like 30 seconds, like not even 3 seconds. And they're like, yeah, we need more prayers like that. Right. There's this. And I think, you know, I think of it like intimacy, right? I think that, that prayer is a lot like intimacy that, that, yeah, I mean, I'm cool just being in the room with my family and like, I'm cool knowing that I've got a good relationship with my kids, but like, especially now with them in college, like when they call or text me, it's kind of like a big deal. And so I think, I kind of think the same thing with God, right? Yeah. Like he knows our thoughts, his feelings about us don't change. But when we have these moments where, you know, we want to talk, you know, at him, I mean, my wife, you know, misses our daughter quite a bit. And so like anytime Abby wants to talk at her, she's loving every minute of it. And then she comes home and I get every minute of it, you know, part two. And I think that's that intimacy piece for sure. Jen's nodding. She's kind of starting this season as well. So she knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah. It's hard. So I was on to like what you were thinking to ask us about advice. Because as I'm listening to you, I would say transitioning to, I know what's coming. Like what advice would we give to one another, or just, I mean, we're all leaders in this circle, and to others, is to like to think of prayer more in terms of what we've been talking about. It's like an active awareness of the Spirit's present with us and be interacting with that in various ways, and to release. If we were taught that, as I was, it's this quiet time, which is also like a little bit of a word that makes me uncomfortable, which is why I'm moving now, that I had to have a quiet time at a specific time of day. It had to be early in the morning and I had to talk at God. That was what I was taught is the definition of prayer. It can be, that could be one form of prayer that may be very life-giving, but that's not how I'm wired. And so to pray without ceasing to me means an active awareness of God's presence at all times, whether I'm driving carpool to gymnastics and walking the dog, or in a room full of leaders just pouring their hearts out. So yeah, just to expand the definition, I guess, a little bit more, and to listen more, not just on our own, but communally. Because active awareness of God's presence as God's people is also a thing.
That's a good word.
That's good.
Yeah, I mean, taking the pressure off, right? Mm-hmm. Like, again, there's not, oh, Marcus, I never knew you felt that way. I mean, this is not something that Jesus is ever going to say.
Right. Right.
Any advice you would give, Joe, besides kind of what you've shared so far, to leaders about, you know, about prayer?
Yeah, I think I just simply, because I've talked a lot already, but as we're thinking in terms of habits, start somewhere simply. Start somewhere simply. Don't overcomplicate it, but start somewhere. And so for me, the Lord's Prayer every morning, I just say it. Sometimes I expand on it, fill in more blanks than I need to. Sometimes it's just literal word for word. I became a Christian with New King James Version, then NIV. So it's like, it's a mixture of both,
yeah.
You know, but all that to say, start simply somewhere would be my advice.
Awesome. Yeah. Thank you both so much for talking about this. I think this is just really good and important and life-giving. I echo your Lord's Prayer. I mean, I think the challenge of it is it can become rote, but I think there are times where I just don't know what to pray, and that seems to cover it all. And so, so it's kind of like, yeah, I'm out, Jesus. Like, I got nothing. I got nothing. So, and I do think it could be very unifying. And I think you can create those other prayers in your culture too, right? You know, if you've ever been to a Christian camp, you know, there's all these song prayers for meals, right? You create kind of this culture of your own too with that. So, well, thanks again so much for both of you for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Awesome.
It's always a delight.
Always a good time with you too. Again, thank you so much for listening. Voices in the Wilderness is brought to you by Preparing for Amazement Ministries, where we empower and equip churches and leaders to create lasting and transformational health. Visit amazed15.org to learn more. Again, we also welcome any comments or suggestions. Simply email us at podcast@amazed15.org, especially as we work through this series on Habits of Healthy Leaders. You can help shape the content that we share with others as well.